Heyo, welcome to Design Huddle. This is a podcast for anyone that wants to get inspired and learn how to build cool stuff with cooler people. We interview designers, creators, influencers, and sometimes just chat about interesting design topics. We'll hit on things like product design, UX best practices, and how you can up-level your personal brand. This podcast is hosted by myself, your boy, Ryan Warrender, a UX designer and taco enthusiast based in New York City, and Brendan Gross, a digital strategist for Fortune 500 companies. We started this podcast to learn from each other, the community, and most important, you, the listeners. So thank you for tuning in, and let's dive in to today's episode of Design Huddle. Let's go! Hey guys, today we're going to be talking about accessibility. For me, accessibility really is fairly straightforward. How do we make the web more inclusive for everyone? Or in other words, how can we help everyone browse, navigate, and interact with the web using any device that they might have? We're going to talk about the ways to do it and some resources to help you get started. Let's dive in.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So I think for me, like, accessibility really comes down to, when we say a site is accessible, we mean that the content is available to everyone and that it can be, you know, operated by absolutely anyone. A lot of my background, as you know, you've probably heard from other talks or topics that, you know, we've hit on, is I'm come from a web background. So a lot of my background and what I'm going to be talking about is going to be from the context of the web. For accessibility, I think the number one thing is that, you know, the textbook definition is that is a design of products, devices, services, or environments for people with, you know, disabilities. I think disabilities is, like, you know, where we start, but it's much bigger than that. And the concept of accessible design and practice of accessible development ensures both direct access and indirect access, meaning compatibility with a person's assistive technology. One great example is that, you know, someone that has is hearing impaired is still able to, you know, browse a website and consume media in an effective way, usually by using, voice readers or, you know, text over. So if they can't hear anything, obviously having any audio is not going to help. So you need closed caption and other options available. Those are just some very basic options that I think most people are aware of. But the web is really kind of catching up to everyone else to become more accessible. On the inclusivity side, a little bit more general, but equally as important, is an intention or policy of, including people who might not otherwise, who might have been excluded or marginalized in the past. This can go from everything from people with learning disabilities, you know, racial or even sexual minorities. So you just really want to make sure that people you're thinking about how your product will work and come across to a broad range of users. We'll pause there for a second. Both are super important, and I'd love to get your take, Brendan, on, like, how you kind of approach the topic as well.
100%. And the reason that we wanted to kind of bring this to you guys today is because I'm sure that in both media, video, really the same thing, media, that there's a lot of talk about inclusivity and accessibility. And the reason we wanted to define both is because, personally, I found it was actually really confusing, because I was like, if you are including, aren't you making it accessible? If you're making it accessible, aren't you making it inclusive? To be honest, I really think that this is why, like, people who read, they get really too down and dirty into the definitions. I mean, really what Ryan to me is saying is, like, either way, you're opening up to people who wouldn't be able to access or have whatever you're creating, have access to what you're creating in the first place. Yeah. So, I mean, to keep it simple, guys, I mean, even though you guys are reading about accessibility and, you know, inclusivity, really just think about it the same thing. They're trying to talk about the same thing. They're just branding their content in a little bit different way so that you read it and think it's different. That's just my take.
It's a great summary, and I love, like, you know, keeping it simple's, you know, really my recommendation. I'll leave with, like, I want to summarize how I would approach it real quick. So all accessibility, especially for the web, which I think most people that are watching and, you know, follow us are related in some way to, you know, the web and creating content for the web. But Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, also known as the WCAG, is like kind of like the, you know, the place where accessibility lives. That those are where all the best practices are, you know, and that's kind of owned by a group that kind of evaluates what the best practices should be. And really, if I had to summarize everything that this, you know, organization or guidelines, it really comes down to the acronym of POUR. So P-O-U-R. The first is perceivable, operable, understandable, and then robust. So those are kind of the main buckets. So perceivable is, can your users perceive the content? Just because something is perceivable with one sense, such as sight, that doesn't mean all of your users can experience it. So that's kind of the perceivable piece. Moving on to operable is, can users navigate the content? You know, a hover interaction, for instance, cannot be operated by someone who can't use a mouse or, you know, a touchscreen. So you need to have like an audio or some sort of, you know, audio output to let them know what the action is actually doing. Another is understandable. So can users understand the content? Is the interface clear? Is it consistent enough to avoid confusion? And then robust, you know, can the content be consumed by a wide variety of user agents, browsers? Does it work with assistive technology? So the robust piece kind of factors in inclusivity. So that's why they really kind of bleed together at times. But, you know, the POUR acronym is really kind of the baseline. You can go super deep on this topic. The TLDR here is, when you're designing, especially for web products, websites, mobile apps, mobile websites, make sure that you're thinking about accessibility and inclusivity as much as possible.
That was a lot of spelled out words. You have me over here like writing the whole alphabet. I was like, WCAG, TLDR, what the fuck is that?
And I mean, that's the beauty of YouTube, though. You can pause it and be like, okay, P-O-U-R. So, POUR.
I absolutely love that. And guys, I really, like, that's probably the first time I've actually had it broken down in that acronym. I think really take notice about all the acronyms that Ryan just said. So you have POUR, you have WCAG, and not the TLDR. That's just like you didn't pay attention, you're looking for the bits. but can you actually break down, because I think this is a good bit, because I actually just learned something, but I've never heard it break down like that, but that just gave me another perspective on things. So before we get into the devil's advocate piece, into you know, should people just focus on what they're doing really well and the people that they're trying to target? But let's, what is WCAG? What does that stand for? Because I was just like...
WCAG is those are the web guidelines. That stands for Web Content Accessibility Guidelines.
Wow. As you can see, all the websites I have to do did not have any accessibility guidelines.
Yeah, and the thing is the thing that's important is it's a progressive, like, kind of experience. So if you're starting with zero accessibility, you know, start small, like, make it easier. And the one thing I will say is there's a tool that I've talked about in the past that I always recommend for designers or web developers.
You say Lighthouse.
It is Lighthouse.
Lighthouse, guys.
Dude, Lighthouse is like the get out of jail free card. But anyways, Lighthouse Chrome extension, there's a score in there, best practices, that factors in some accessibility. And there's actually, like, I think an accessibility category as well. So look at those, see how the site's doing, and that'll also give you some best practices of how you can improve it.
Before we end and summarize everything, guys, we have about 5 minutes before my camera decides to die. So let's hop in real quick, Ryan. What is the devil advocate piece for those who, again, like you're saying, starting small? Why would somebody want to start small or stay with their niche versus being accessible? Because the devil advocate, or the reverse of this argument, is, okay, you want to be accessible, you want more people to have access to what exactly you're building, and more people, quote-unquote, equals more money. The more people are seeing it, the more opportunities you have somebody to cash into what exactly you're building, versus those who are building something very specific, who know very specifically like a certain something, and they really shouldn't break out of, I think shouldn't is a dangerous word, but They feel that they need to go in that direction and not have to open up and be accessible. What are your thoughts on that?
The quick summary is there's 4 billion internet users. There's tons of people coming online for the first time. So of course we can think about disabilities, like that's probably a small portion of your users, but they're still equally as important because every right. user should have a great experience. But the other thing to factor in is a first-time internet user, right? Like they might not understand what a hamburger menu is, so you might want to make it more explicit. So the bottom line is that like this entire topic, if I had to summarize it, is like develop empathy and be open-minded as much as possible. And the other piece is like, you know, run it by users that are different. Like whenever you do user research, you never want to pick a pool of people that are all kind of the exact same. The more diverse group of the users, usually the better reflection of how the product is actually going to function in the wild.
We got to a lot of good points here, guys. And I really rewind this. If you were just watching this and like, two smart motherfuckers. All right, next. Really take the... That is true. So thank you. But really do rewind this because we have a lot of good pieces. We talked a lot about the accessibility guidelines. One, just like myself, I haven't dove into that much myself in my career. But especially with the accessibility inclusivity movement that we have now, my ass is definitely going to have to dive into it. But it will help you if you understand those things, because a lot of the designers that I've even worked with are not familiar with those things. So WCAG is the acronym. Check it out online. We also talked about the acronym POR. Again, that is perceive. What you are creating, make sure it's perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust. Again, Google search to get a little bit more detail on those things. And again, we'll put a little bit more in the description for you guys to understand those things as well and go into detail so you don't have to Google search, because I know you guys don't like to do that. Ryan's favorite tool, Ryan's favorite tool, Lighthouse. Look it up just for him. But regardless of that, got a lot of good tools. I think every video we've had, Ryan has mentioned Lighthouse, so I think I just need to look it up now and upgrade my pay grade.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a future. We should do. I might do a whole
video,
you know,
podcast on
or video on the topic, because it's incredibly valuable and it's probably one of the most underrated tools out there.
Our whole new vlog podcast thing is just gonna be called Lighthouse. That's it. Overruled. And last thing, always make sure that you are empathizing with your users and who you're creating experiences for and being open-minded. So keep those 4 to 5 points in mind. Google, and also read the description. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. So with that, guys, thank you for showing up, listening, and enjoying our talk and letting us run our mouth.
Yeah, we'll catch you on the next one. See you guys.
All right, peace. See you guys.
Design Huddle is a podcast that is hosted by Ryan Warner and Brendan Gross. The opinions stated here are our own and not those of our company. Thank you for tuning in, and please feel free to share this episode.